Oh my gosh. Hi, everybody. What the heck? I feel like it's been a minute. It's been 2 weeks. Oh my God. Sorry. Ooh. Oh my God. Excuse me. I am so freaking sleepy. But it's good to be back. Good to be back. I actually I don't know why it was so hard for me to sit down and record this week. I kept putting it off. It's literally Sunday night. I've been I've been so unmotivated and had such low energy this week. Just been kind of rotting, looking at my phone a lot. Not good. I was sick. I had this head cold, sore throat situation going on Tuesday, Wednesday. And after that, I felt better. I took Tuesday and Wednesday off of work, and then Thursday I went back to work, but I don't know, I still felt crap. Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. Today I finally feel a little bit better, but I'm still freaking congested as hell, man. I'm just it's finally a little bit less snot today than the past couple days. But oh my God, I have been just blowing out the most insane amount of snot. That is way TMI. I'm so sorry. But it's true. I'm where is this even coming from? How is this all coming out of my body? This is crazy. And what, it needs to come out because I cannot fucking breathe. But I felt like I was abandoning my child. I didn't want to abandon the podcast for 2 weeks in a row. I've already been freaking slacking off. I think I released two episodes this month, which whatever. I don't know. I don't know what I was. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, so this is probably going to be kind of a short episode tonight. Or today, I guess, because you're listening to this tomorrow. But I was let's just sit down and let's just yak for a bit. Let's just chit chat. Let's just catch up, see what's going on. What has been going on? Let me think. I know I have, what did I put on my agenda? I feel like that's the other thing, is I feel like I haven't been having any thoughts about anything lately. It's just been kind of dry. I've just been kind of a dry spell. Well, also I've been I feel like I've been focused so much on creative output, in terms of my artwork and printing stuff. And because I have that brick and mortar set up now, that I talked about in the last episode, if you're curious. I think, it was the last episode, I'm pretty sure. But now that I have that, the person who owns the store obviously wants a lot of variety with the vendors, and so I've been kind of spending a lot of time replenishing the stuff that I already had, but then also coming up with new ideas and new designs and new and stuff like that. And it's just kind of zapped all of my brain power, you know. I don't have any brain power left to think critically about media. I've been meaning to, I haven't even been listening to music that I want to listen to, because I've just had an overwhelming amount of anxiety this week. It's being sick makes me so anxious, because it's those are days that I am home, and so I feel I should be doing being really productive because I'm home, and I feel like I should be taking advantage of that and making art and whatever, and or watching stuff that I actually want to watch. But instead I just get paralyzed, and I just sit on my phone, or I just watch YouTube for 8 hours straight. Which then makes me more anxious that I did that instead of doing something more productive. But I don't know, I get in these loops sometimes. I'm hoping that tomorrow's Monday, I'm hoping tomorrow that we're starting over. Because that was just a tough cycle that I got myself in this week, where I just constantly felt like I wasn't doing enough, and then I was feeling bad that I wasn't doing enough, and then I was so discouraged by feeling bad that I didn't have the energy to do anything. You know? You get it. The girls who get it. I know you get it. But I have been meaning to listen to the new Kacey Musgraves album, and I've been meaning to listen to the Hozier Unheard EP that dropped, and I just haven't even gotten to it because I don't know, the first time I listen to an album that I want to listen to, I can't do it passively. I have to be actively listening, and it has to be a thing for some reason. I can't just put it on when I'm puttering around, doing stuff or running errands or on the bus or whatever. I need to be on a walk or sitting, laying down with my headphones in. I need to be like listening to an album that I want to listen to for the first time is like its own event. It is its own activity. It is not something that happens in the background. It has to happen. I don't know why. I actually wish I could be more chill. But what happens with that is that it means I just kind of like don't. I like don't listen to music I want to listen to because I'm like, oh, no, I have to wait till I can actually put my time and energy into thinking about that. Like, I was just thinking about this the other day. And the other day, I mean like earlier today probably or yesterday. I don't know. Time is fake. I don't know. But I so wish that Taylor Swift did like a single release before her album. Like, it stresses me the fuck out that every album is just like a cold drop. Like, we don't have any indication. And I know that a single isn't always like an accurate representation of what the entire album is going to sound like as a cohesive piece. But it gives me like something to work. Like, there's something so, this is probably a personal problem. I don't know. But like, there's something so stressful about it where I'm like, April 19th, like Tortured Poets, I have no idea what I'm going to expect. I like don't even know. Like right now, I just don't even know. I'm actually like kind of not even excited because I'm like, oh my God, like it's going to be such an overload of like people. I feel like everyone has to, there's this thing where like everyone has to, like whenever a new like movie comes out or documentary or album or something that's like highly awaited and like very like, it's like a lot of people are like really eager to consume it. I feel like there's this race for then people to like watch it really fast and like talk about it really fast. And I think this is because I'm like on TikTok a lot and like I have a podcast where I talk about like stuff like that. But it's like stressful. It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't even, like, I, like, it's crazy because I'm just going to use Taylor Swift's album as an example. Tortured Poets is going to drop on April 19th. And by, like, Saturday or Sunday, or I don't know, I think April 19th is a Saturday. So by the 20th or the 21st, like, I know that there's going to be people who have, like, full-ass, like, commentary videos and commentary podcasts and TikToks going in-depth about their thoughts about it. And that stresses me out because I can't do that. Like, I need to sit on it. Like, especially an album from an artist that I really like and like I am like, it's like very much as something that I'm eagerly awaiting and I'm probably gonna have to like marinate in it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna have to like listen to it. And I like hate the expectation now of like something comes out and then, oh, you immediately have to be the first person to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it now, then it's gonna be old news and the news cycle will have completely moved on to something different by the time you do want to talk about this thing. Like, I wanted to talk about Quiet on Set today, but I like actually am like, I don't know, like everyone's talked about Quiet on Set already. Every single podcast that I listen to has already done a discussion about Quiet on Set. So I'm like, I don't know, like I really have nothing left to say. I might talk about it. I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's like a rat race and it kind of stresses me out. I don't know. Hee hee, you get it. And not only that, but like I don't like it when I hear other people's thoughts about something like an album or a movie or something before I even have time to like figure out my own thoughts about it. Cause I'm like, okay, like, do I actually think that? Or do I just think that because it's clouded by what I heard this other person say about it or these other people say about it? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And like, I know that if like my mom was listening to this, she would say, well, just don't watch any videos about it. Or like, just get off social media. Why do you care? And that's a good point. But the truth is I like do love talking. Like the point of like art and music and movies and whatever is to like, it's a point of connection for people. And like, I love talking about my favorite music with people who also like that music, or talking about my favorite movies with people who also love those movies. Like, that is what life is all about. But like, goddamn, like, can I have 3 to 5 business days to think about it first before I get online and have a diatribe about it? Goddamn. Anyway, yeah, speaking of being online, I like had this TikTok randomly that I posted get like, it got 1 million views in the first hour that I posted, in the first day, sorry. It got 1 million views in the first day that I posted it. And then today, which is the second day that it's been up, it's at like 2.7 million views, which I have never had a TikTok blow up that big, that fast. And when something, and obviously I post so many TikToks. Like, you guys, I post an absolutely illegal amount of TikToks. Like, I mean, I'm just on there every day and I'm always blabbing about something. And usually, like, 1,500 to like 10,000 people see it. And it's a pretty zoned in audience. You know what I mean? Like, it's people who kind of like get what I'm about and like get what I'm doing and like, and they're in it and they're not there to like have bad faith arguments or whatever. But when a video gets 2.7 million views in less than 48 hours, it obviously attracts the general population, and that includes the scum of the earth. So I have been the comment section on this TikTok, and it was a TikTok that I made that it was the dumbest fucking TikTok, that it was just me saying like that I saw a video of someone saying that she never lets her checking account go below $4,000. And I was just kind of like, damn, that's a lot. Like, that seems high to me. Like, I kind of just keep like a couple hundred dollars in my checking account, like if I'm lucky, and then everything else is just in my savings account. Like, I don't know, like I just kind of like was riffing, you know? I just got on TikTok and I was riffing, as one does. And for some reason, that video is the one that got almost 3 million views in the first 2 days. Not a TikTok that I'm actually proud of or worked on or like shows something that I'm proud of. No, it was that TikTok. And like, I can't even be mad because I'm getting a fucking check from the TikTok Creator Fund, which I'm, you know, but the comment section is a battlefield. It has officially reached, it has gone beyond the point of no return. Everyone's in the comments. I think it has like, I've never had a TikTok that had 15,000 comments on it, you guys. Do you know 15,000 people? Do you know how many people 15,000 people is in one room? I gotta look at that. Like, how big of a, what kind of stadium fits 15,000 people in it? Let me check. Okay, just to confirm, I just checked and the video now has 3.2 million views. It has 16.4 thousand comments, which is 16.4 thousand is the capacity of the Unidome Stadium in Cedar Falls, Iowa, the Hanson Field Stadium in Macon, Illinois, the Tucker Stadium in Cookeville, Tennessee, which I don't know any of those, but I just kind of feel like as a general rule, like as a human, you never like really need to hear 16,000 plus people's input on anything you have to say. You know what I mean? Like six, like that is just, that's just too many. I'm sorry. That's just too many. I don't care. You don't get me. You don't get what I'm about. You're here in the comments making assumptions and having bad faith takes. And that's not what I'm about. Okay. I like the sweet spot for me is when my TikToks get like, I love it when a TikTok, it's like 20,000 views, you know, it's like, it's, that's the perfect amount of views and the perfect amount of comments, like 20,000 views, like 130 comments. I even had a TikTok recently that got like 100,000 views and the comments were still like, I think there was maybe like a couple bad apples in there, but even for the most part, that was still good. Like we shouldn't, the millions, you guys, is just a tough place to be. But that's the risk you run by getting on TikTok, is that the dumbest video you make is always going to be the one that, that blows up. So there you go. But I did, okay. I feel the need to talk about this because it kind of changed my life this morning. Okay. So I posted that video on, that's me talking. I posted that video on Friday night, and because I'm in the TikTok, I have over 10,000 followers, so I'm in this TikTok creator rewards program, I think they call it now. They literally changed the name all the time. It was like a beta program for a long time. They just changed it to like the real deal. I don't fucking know, but, oh, sorry guys, hacking up a lung, but if you have over 10,000 followers, then you can be in this program that pays you out for every video view you get on a video over 1 minute long. So obviously I make most of my videos over 1 minute long because the platform pushes out longer videos, obviously, because they want people to stay on the platform for longer because it makes them more money. It's their bottom line. But I woke up this morning and I checked my balance because it came through for the first time since Friday. Because it like usually takes 24 hours to update like from your most recent video. And when I woke up this morning, that video had made me $1,000. So I don't even know, like, I don't, is that, because I don't know how many of the views it counted because it's like a little bit behind. So like, I'm so eager to find out, like, am I going to wake up tomorrow morning to like another $1,000 because it like the views doubled within the first, like after the first day? I don't know, you guys. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that like that TikTok money is no joke. I get why people go crazy for that TikTok money because I have like now I have like 13,000 followers. When I posted that video Friday night, I had like 11,000 followers. So I am like on the very, very, very low end. I can only imagine how much money people who have 100,000, 500,000, 1 million, 2 million followers are making. Like they are making dumb money, you guys, because $1,000 for me, I feel like I won the fucking jackpot. Like, do you know what that means? That means that I can put $500 on two of my credit cards. And that's pretty thrilling for me because that will lower my minimum payments for next month. Okay. And if that doesn't make me a rich woman, I don't know what does. I don't know. But yeah, like I'm obviously gonna be pissed if TikTok gets banned because I like fucking around on there and I like watching TikToks more than I should. But I get why some people are like actually freaking out because I bet they are getting like $10,000 payouts from them every month, dude. Yeah, I'd be fucking mad and fighting against that too if I was making that much money. Jesus Christ, Lordy. Jesus Christ, Lordy. You heard it here first. I actually know exactly what I want to talk about today. It's my new interest that I have as of last night because I obviously saw a TikTok someone made about it and I said, hold on a sec, what the hell are you talking about? I have to know every conceivable detail about this at this moment now that this thing has been brought to my attention. And the thing that maybe a lot of people know about this, I had never heard of this before. So if this is like common sense that everyone knows, shh, don't tell me, okay? I don't want to know. I want you to pretend to be like, what? That's crazy. I'd never heard that before. Or else my feelings are going to get hurt. But I am obsessed with the Barkley Marathon, okay? Barkley Marathons. Sorry, it's plural for some reason. You guys, this is the fucking wackiest doodle shit ever. And I'm going to tell you about it. We're going to learn about it, okay? I'm getting on the wiki and we're going to get down and dirty because I was learning facts about this last night and I said, this is goofy as hell and I love it and I need everyone to know about it. So the Barkley Marathons is what they call an ultra marathon. I don't know if you guys can tell. I don't really run. I'm not really much of an athlete. I don't fancy myself much of a mover and groover usually. I'm a pedestrian. And that is pretty much where that starts and ends. But you would not catch me running, not even if something was chasing me, because I don't care to live that bad. Okay? I said what I said. But something about this struck a chord with me, and I'm so fascinated by it. So an ultra marathon is like a super long distance marathon, and I feel like it's usually like something like 100 miles. Like, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of a standard length. Or here, I guess on the wiki it says, the shortest common ultra marathon is 31 miles. So I guess that's only like 5 miles longer than a regular marathon, right? And the longest one is 3,100 miles, which I don't know, like that is just a punishment. Like if you run that kind of marathon, like I can only imagine you have some kind of like degradation kink, because what the hell is going on? 3,100 miles? You gotta be kidding me. The Barkley Marathons, though, is held at the Frozen Head State Park, located in Morgan County, Tennessee. Okay. Any Tennessee heads out there? Any Tennessee heads? I know Hannah's from Tennessee. What's up, girl? Have you ever heard of this? So you have to, in order to be qualify as a finisher of the marathon, you have to run it in under 60 hours. So you have a time limit. And it is about 100 miles, give or take, depending on the year, because the route changes every year. And the route is truly insane. It is 5 loops around this, like, course, but it's trail. Like, it's all trails in this, like, densely wooded part of Appalachia, which just is terrifying on its own, right? Like, couldn't pay me. Hell no. Hell no. The whole thing is also, the whole thing is kind of secretive also. It's kind of all shrouded in a mystery. No one ever really knows year to year when it will take place. It's just sometime between May or no, I'm sorry. It's sometime between March and May. But it varies year to year, which is so funny. And the route also varies, but basically if you want to apply to get into this race, you have to track down this secret email address. Like, the application is wild. Like, there's some special email that you have to find. I don't even know how you find it. I'm sure in the running community, there's like friends of friends and word of mouth. And I'm sure you just have to get it that way because it's like not anywhere online. It's like not on a website that you can just go to and apply. You have to like have this very specific email address. You have to send in to this email an essay on why you should be able to run in the Barkley Marathon, like a college acceptance essay for the marathon. And the application fee is $1.60. And there's only 35 people that are allowed to run every year. And apparently over 55% of the races that have existed, I think it's been going on since 1995. 1995. So almost 30 years. Oh my God, that took me way too long to do that math. Holy moly. That was embarrassing. But in those 30 years, there's been over half of the races where nobody even finished it within the 60-hour time frame or whatever. So, like, that just tells you how hard it is. Because I know that the bitches running this marathon are, like, the best of the best, the tippy-top of the runners, okay? So, the guy who started it was this guy named Lazarus Lake. His real name is Gary Cantrell. But he goes by Laz, or Lazarus Lake. Yeah, he's just like this weird, kooky guy. Like, here it is. Here's the history. The idea for the race was inspired upon hearing about the 1977 escape of James Earl Ray, the assassin of Martin Luther King Jr., from nearby Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. Ray covered only about 12 miles after running 54 and a half hours in the woods, hiding from air searches during the day. Cantrell said to himself, "I could do at least 100 miles," mocking Ray's low mileage. Thus, the Barkley Marathons was born. Cantrell named the race for his longtime neighbor and running companion, Barry Barkley. It was first run in 1986. Barkley died in 2019 at age 70. So I don't know, because lower down, it only lists the finishers starting 1995. So maybe from between 1986 and 1985, no one finished? Maybe? But the big deal is that yesterday or the day before, and that's the reason I was introduced to this whole thing, is because the very first woman to finished this year. And it happened like yesterday or a couple days ago. Her name is Jasmine Paris. I think she's from England. I think she's British, but she finished with only 99 seconds to spare. She finished at like 59 hours and like 58 minutes and something. Like, if she had taken 100 seconds longer, she wouldn't have been considered a finisher, which is like crazy. Like, I can't believe that. Good for her. I can't believe anyone finished this goddamn thing. Good for fucking her. Okay, that's not even as kooky as it gets, though. I haven't gotten to a lot of information, okay? So if you're if you want to run the marathon, you have to send in to the email your $1.60 application fee. You have to send in your essay, your college acceptance essay about why you should be able to run in the marathon. And if you're accepted, apparently, they send you a letter of condolence. Like, the whole thing is so unserious. I'm obsessed with it. Apparently, there's a documentary that I wanted to watch last night, but I didn't get to it. I might watch it tonight. It's called The Barkley Marathon's The Run That Eats Its Young, I'm pretty sure. I think it's on Netflix or YouTube or something. But I'm obviously going to watch that because I am truly obsessed with this whole shebang. But when you get to the run, there's different requirements for what you have to bring in order to run the marathon. And it's like so... it's so unserious. It's like you're trying to cross a bridge and like this troll is like, but first you must answer my riddles 3. Like, if you're a first time runner, which they call virgins, you have to bring your license plate or a license plate from your home state or home country if you're coming from abroad. If you've run the race before but didn't finish, on top of your $1.60 application fee, you have to bring like... either it's like white t-shirts, socks, a flannel shirt, and like some other sort of donations that they're like looking for. And that's kind of like your payment as being a non-finisher for a previous year. And apparently they decide on like what you need to bring as your donation based on what laws needs. He's just like, I don't know, bring me clothes, I guess, if you're gonna run. This is my race. I do what I want. Fucking crazy. But if you are someone who has run the marathon previously and finished and want to run it again, you have to obviously pay your $1.60 fee, but you also have to bring a pack of Camel cigarettes in order to run the race. So it's just like so arbitrary. I'm obsessed with it. And then when you have this bib, like obviously you get like a bib number as a runner, and all around the course, because no phones, no maps, like no GPS is allowed. You're allowed to look at I'm doing most of this by memory, so forgive me if none of this is right. I'm going off of what I looked at last night, but I have the wiki pulled up, okay? So we can do some fact-checking if need be. You are allowed to look at the course for like a certain amount of time beforehand, and you're allowed to take notes on the course, but that is your only aid that you're allowed during the run. So you can't have like any official maps, you can't have any GPS, like no phone, nothing other than your notes. And in order for them to know that you like ran all of the loops properly and like didn't cheat, I'm assuming, is that they hide books throughout the course on each loop. And you have to like scavenge for these books and find, when you find the book, you have to rip out the page in the book that corresponds to your bib number and like take it with you. And at the end of the race, so every lap you get a new bib number. So you run 5 laps, right, of the 20-mile course. And so you have 5 different bib numbers throughout the marathon. And so every lap, when you find the books, you have to pull out the new corresponding number to your bib. It's like, it's the craziest thing. And they only give out odd numbered bibs because people are ripping the pages out, obviously. So it takes like the back and the front of the page. And you have to carry them with you. And at the end, you have to hand them your book pages so they can like make sure that you finished properly. Isn't that crazy? Again, the whole thing is like shrouded in secrecy. So no one knows when it's going to start either. Like when you're a runner, when you've been like confirmed to run and you show up in Tennessee to run it, you're like given a day that it's going to start, like the race day, but you don't know what time it's going to start. It can start anywhere between midnight and noon, which I wouldn't want to start running around in the Appalachian Forest at midnight, but more power to you. I guess if you're running this race, you're already a fucking nutcase. So I guess why not also do it in the middle of the night, you know? And I say that respectfully, you know what I mean? If this is your jam, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that people want to run this race so that I can bear witness to it, okay? Because I'm obsessed with this whole deal. So it starts anytime on race day between midnight and noon. And the race director, who I think might be Laws, but I don't know, that Gary Cantrell guy, the race director blows a conch shell to signify an hour until the start time. So when you hear the conch, you're like, okay, I've got an hour, and then I gotta start fucking running. And then the official start of the race is when Gary Cantrell, Lazarus Lake himself, lights a cigarette. And that is when the race starts. That's so goofy. It's so goofy. I'm obsessed with it, you guys. Okay, I'm taking this from the Wikipedia. If you run the full 100-mile race, you take a counterclockwise direction for loops 2 and 4, followed by each runner alternating direction on loop 5 after the first placed runner's choice. Depending on the start time of the first loop, either the second and fourth loops are run at night, or the first, third, and fifth loops are run at night. Runners who complete 3 circuits of the loop, 60 miles, are said to have completed a, quote, fun run. So I guess if you do 3 loops, you get a special little title. You get a fun run. It doesn't sound very fun to me, but that's the beauty of personal preference. There is a 54,000-foot accumulated vertical climb and the same amount of descent. And it is considered to be one of the most challenging ultra marathons held in the U.S., if not the entire world. The course itself, which has changed distance, route, and elevation many times since its inaugural run, currently consists of an approximate 20-mile unmarked loop with no aid stations except water at 2 points along the route. Runners are allowed to study and copy the course map prior to the race. Yeah, that's what I was saying. But once the race is underway, they must navigate by their own notes alone. The loop begins and ends at the yellow road gate where the runners and supporters' parked cars stay. Runners of the 100-mile version of this loop run 5 times, taking counterclockwise. Okay, yeah, so, like, dude, the clockwise, counterclockwise, like, switching it up, like, alternating that, like, on top of being a physically grueling experience, the rules sound completely confusing. Like, I can only imagine, like, what if you finished it, but you weren't considered a finisher on a technicality. They were like, I don't know, man, sorry, like, you didn't run counterclockwise when you're supposed to run clockwise, or when you were supposed to, or whatever. I would be so mad if I had trained my whole life, if I had been running my whole life, and I finally got to run in this secretive elite marathon, and I thought I finished. I did the whole thing in under 60 hours. I was dying. I feel like I'm dying, right? And then they're like, I don't know, technically you're not a finisher because, like, you didn't rip the page out of the 14th book on your 4th loop. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? That would just be life-ending. I think I'd have to kill myself if that happened, actually. Good thing it never will, right? Good thing it never will. There were 4 finishers this year. So on top of Jasmine Paris, who was the first woman to do it, there was also 4 men who finished, and so there's 5 finishers. Yeah, good to know that I can add. Okay, flexing on you guys. Good to know I can add. There was Jasmine Paris and 4 guys, so 5 total finishers, which is the most finishers ever. Previously, I think the most finishers in one race was 3, based on what I'm looking at. But 2 of the guys that finished this year, John Kelly and Jared Campbell, have finished before. John Kelly has finished 3 times total, and Jared Campbell has finished 4. Like, what are you even? I can't believe it. I can't believe this Jared Campbell fella would want to do this 4 times. Like, when is he going to call it? You know, 5? Is he going to do 1 more? Maybe do 5? Or is he going to just keep going? Is he going to do 10? Is he going to do 20? Like, that's insane. That's truly insane. So, yeah, that is my new obsession. I hope you enjoyed learning about it. If you had no idea about it, like me, my mind was completely blown. I I love goofy, unserious shit like this. Like, I love the fact that this guy and his friend were like, let's just like make up some goofy ass race to make fun of the guy who escaped from prison after assassinating MLK Jr. They're like, let's just do this to make fun of him. I'm like, that is like, that's great. Like, that's what life's all about. You know, life is all about doing goofy shit with your friends. And I love that. I mean, I can only think that the thing that would ruin this is if someone like died while running it. And now I obviously have to look and make sure that there haven't been any casualties from the Barkley marathons, because that would kind of ruin the whole vibe. Like, this, the whole vibe to me is like silly, funny, no big deal. Like, obviously big deal because it's like a grueling race, but like not real in the sense that like someone just made it up, you know? Like, this guy just made it up. Okay, I'm reading an article from CNN from last year, March 2023, and it's about this Frenchman named Aurelien Sanchez. I don't know. That's probably not how you say his name. Sorry, I'm not French. I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm still having nightmares, says Sanchez, who has now returned home to Toulouse and resumed his work as an electrical engineer. I'm dreaming that I'm in my fifth loop, but not focused anymore. I'm lost in the forest. It's dark, and I'm waking up in a panic because I know I'm not focused, and I need to be focused to finish. It can hardly be the first time the Barkley has left an imprint on a runner's brain. The race, between 100 and 130 miles long, with 63,000 feet of elevation, has a dropout rate of 99%. Prior to this year, there had been no finishers since 2017. Oh my God, so I didn't realize that 99% of people drop out during the race. That makes sense. That honestly makes sense. For first timers like Sanchez, the navigation is the most fiendish part of the Barkley. You really have to learn the course during the race, he tells CNN Sport. There are some sections that are really difficult to remember and to know perfectly. I still struggled in the fifth loop to get around and made a lot of mistakes. Okay, yeah, I can only fucking imagine. The final loop was made even harder this year after a day hiker removed one of the 13 books from the course. Oh no. Sanchez decided to dismantle a stack of stones at the checkpoint to prove he had passed through, but he was nonetheless relieved to see Cantrell holding the missing book at the end of the race. My friend who was in camp at this time offered to replace a book because he had time to put it back, but Laz didn't want to. He said, that's part of the race, so I had to deal with that. Staving off sleep deprivation is another challenge of the Barkley. In the 3 days and two nights he was on the course, Sanchez slept for only 15 minutes between the third and fourth loops after 33 hours of running? The second night I had a bit of a struggle, he says. I was feeling dizzy. I was not seeing right on the trail. I was not walking straight anymore. Desperate to find more energy, Sanchez swallowed caffeine tablets, took on more food and water, and even tried screaming into the woods in an effort to reinvigorate himself. His racing field consisted mainly of cheeseburgers. It was an amazing lot of calories going in. I enjoyed eating that, says Sanchez, as well as candy, chocolate, cookie dough, cheese, and fruit. Was he just carrying all of that around in a backpack with him? That's king shit right there. A backpack full of cheeseburgers, candy, chocolate, and cookie dough, okay? That's what I'm talking about. It also says a brief pause between each loop was also a chance to change his socks and shoes before returning to the course. It's like you start a new race, says Sanchez. It's almost like the exhaustion goes away and you start fresh again on a new loop. And new socks are very important to avoid blisters as well. Yeah, I've heard, that's another thing that I learned recently a couple months ago is that, well, it's because I was looking for new, because I walk so much that I was looking for new walking shoes, and I didn't end up taking this advice, but a lot of people were saying that, like, if you are someone, because I don't think that it matters, like, I don't walk that much, you know what I mean? I think they were talking about people who walk, like, 20 miles daily, because there are some people who are, like, long-distance walkers like that. I follow this girl on Instagram who does these, like, super cool long-distance walks through Seattle, and I love watching her stuff. It inspires me. I'm like, girl, I want to walk 10 miles. Get in there. I'm going to get in there. Maybe I'll walk. I want to walk to like Coronado Island or something. That's not even 10 miles. That's like five. But I just think it would be fun to say that I walked to an island. You know what I mean? Maybe I will. What was I even talking about? Oh, changing your shoes. A lot of people say that you are supposed to, if you run frequently or walk distances frequently, you're supposed to have two different pairs of shoes that you alternate between every day, because on the shoes off day, it gives the foam chance to like repair, or like, I don't know, like something about it, like it doesn't get worn down as much, like since it has time to rest in between your wears. So they end up lasting way longer than if you were just going to wear the same pair of shoes every day, because it doesn't have time to recover in between wears. I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. Do you think it's interesting? Tell me yes. Okay. Oh, my mic's over here. Okay. 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 I had to take a little break. I had to make some tea because my throat was getting a little scratchy, okay? I'm still, this freaking cold has been kicking my ass for going on like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 7 days now, okay? And I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. But we're going to take a hard turn here because I have previously touched on my love and disdain for the platform of Quora. I think the episode is called Quora the Explorer. It definitely is called that, from a couple months ago, maybe, where we explored there. But I have been getting some bangers in my email inbox, and I just want to touch on them, okay? Because I think you guys are gonna love them, all right? If you don't know, Quora is like a website where you can go on and ask questions and have people answer. It's like literally just a new iteration of Yahoo Answers from back in the day. But I feel like this is like, I don't even know who is on here. I think it's all like boomers and older. Like, I think this is like actually like 80-year-olds who are on here. Because it seems like the people who are in the comments and asking questions seem absolutely unreal. They're either 10 years old pretending to be adults, or they are genuinely senile. Okay. And I'm going to tell you what I mean. So this was posted, like 8 months ago. It's never chronological. Like, I'm always getting recommended posts in, because I never go on Quora. Like, I literally avoid it like the plague, except I got on like the mailing list for it years ago, years and years and years ago. And it's called like the Quora Daily Digest or something, where they send you like all of the top questions that you think, or that they think you would like to see. And they're really bad at it. Like, their algorithm is not good. They need to figure out what I like, because I know they have so much data on me that they could access, but they still send me the worst stories that I'd have no interest in. And here's the first one, okay? It's a picture of a young girl from behind. She's wearing like running shorts and like a black pullover, and she is throwing like this giant bag of trash in a dumpster. And the post is as follows. It's funny because this one isn't even a question. It's literally just like a post. Like, it's just, he could have written the same thing on Facebook. In fact, it would have been more appropriate. Anyway, here we go. This is my youngest daughter. She's 14. This is her second year working a summer job. Oh, record scratch. This is her second year working a summer job, so she's been working a summer job since she was 13. Methinks that violates child labor laws, but I don't know. What do I know? She decided where she wanted to work and walked in a resume. They didn't call, so she called them twice. Then went in to see if they had looked at the resumes yet. They hadn't. They asked her if she had time now to do an interview. She said yes. She got the job. She works whatever shift they want. She posted a sign on the employee bulletin board telling coworkers if they want a day off, she's happy to help. She cleans dishes and toilets, takes out garbage and mops the floor, waits on customers and manages money. She makes fancy coffees and smoothies. It's not glamorous, but she's saving 70% of what she makes to become a doctor. The other 30% is going towards a computer and time with her friends. She's leaning in. Okay, Sheryl Sandberg, lean in. She's leaning in. She's putting the work in. She impresses me. Okay, so I have a lot of issues with this. Obviously, if you know anything about me, then you know that I fucking hate this post, and it gave me hives just reading it, because why is your 14-year-old on their second year of working a summer job? Like, that is, you are a child. What kind of establishment would even hire a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old? I wouldn't want to go there, just saying. Second of all, this is a 14-year-old, and her parents are putting so much emphasis on the fact that, like, she works whenever they want her to. She offers to cover her coworkers on there so they can have a day off. Like, from all I can tell, like, she is working, like, 7 days a week. And, like, completely allowing herself to be exploited by her employer. And the parent is, for some reason, posting this on Quora.com, Quora.gov, okay? And is, like, celebrating it. Like, it is so yucky. It is so icky. But obviously, you guys know the comments are worse, right? Comment from Humble Smith. Kudos to you. If you want something, your will and determination is guaranteed for success. My daughter wanted to work in the medical field since she was 9. She's now 33 and she has been a certified LPN for 5 years and now going to be an RN. Thumbs up emoji. Like, who asked? You know what I mean? This one is killing me. From Link Jr. I'm just, like, absolutely putting these people on blast. I don't care. It's my podcast. Also, I'm not convinced any of these people are real. I think they're maybe all bots. She is just 14 and have the mindset of 30-year-old woman, grandma emoji. What she has in mind and working towards, it means poverty is wiped away from your family lineage. May God bless her. Holy shit. Holy shit. Because your 13-year-old is working a summer job, that means that poverty will be wiped away from your family lineage. I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with that comment. It's so unhinged. Donald said, the world would be a lot better if the younger generation were all like her. I commend her for going after something she wanted and the parents for instilling in her the good work ethics. Hats off to you. Or hats off to her and to you, sir. Oh my God, finally someone reasonable. Melissa, this is sad and nothing to celebrate. At 14, seems like this kid is in survivor mode. Then again, I believe all education should be free. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, I am so... when you are 14, you are literally a little baby. Like, you shouldn't be slaving away on over your summer. Come on. Where is she that a 14-year-old girl can work? Y'all, girl, I'm wondering the exact same thing. Okay, we have another one. This gotta be a joke. Are you out of your goddamn mind? She's 14. She should be studying and learning, reading, playing with her friends, whatever. Not working and whatever this is. You put a kid into the world and then do shit like this. Some people are just deranged and mind rot to think this is a good example of parenting. We're not in the 60s anymore. Oh my God. Yeah, it's inspiring and she's special, but you didn't have to post the photo, mate. Yeah, that's true. It's weird that you posted a picture of your 13-year-old throwing out trash from behind. That's so funny. Another unhinged comment. A truly remarkable American story. Somehow she will beat the AI to represent the future of our Homo sapient species on this planet. William, what the fuck? Like, I'm just... These people need to get off Quora and into a doctor's office because I think they need some kind of help. Here's another weirdo post. This one is from November 8th, posted by Emily. There's a gentleman. There's another picture, okay? So it's a zoomed-in picture that someone has taken out of a car window of a guy standing in front of a school wearing, like, a black polo and jeans. And it follows. There is a gentleman that was standing outside of my daughter's school this morning when I dropped off. I thought he was maybe waiting for a ride this afternoon, but when I went back, he was still standing there. So I called the school and I asked what he was doing there. And, well, obviously, he volunteered to stand watch over the school. That just literally made my day. And I wanted to thank that gentleman for doing that because I think it's very courageous and it put some of our hearts and minds at ease. I wanted to shake his hand, but I didn't want to interrupt as he was doing a job. Not... That's like what you say about, like, a service dog. Like, don't pet the service dog. It's doing a job. It's so funny. She's like, I can't go up and shake his hand. He's too busy standing watch over the school. Which, like, honestly, I mean, like, we shouldn't have to have civilians watching over schools, right? Like, people would rather do anything but ban guns. You know what I mean? They would rather post on Quora dumbass posts about how cool it is that some guy, is watching over the school. But I bet they voted for Donald Trump. You know what I mean? Because they did say this was in Texas. Okay, here's another one. The picture for this one is an AI photo that someone had made. It's like a child and a adult man like crouching down to the floor together. And it looks like there's like a cracked egg on the floor or like an eggshell. I have no idea. It's AI generated. So it's just like gobbledygook. But the question attached to this picture for no apparent reason is, do narcissists love their children? Question mark. And the answer, and what I'm obsessed with is that people can put their like credentials for like why they're answering it, right? So this lady says that she's a coach at Narcissistic Personality Disorder, 2010 through present. Okay, that's fake job, fake company. Coach at Narcissistic Personality Disorder. Okay, she says, narcissists don't love anyone. That includes their children. When it comes to their children, it becomes literally a case of I made you, so I own you. A narcissist's children are not their children. They are their slaves. They're not even people. They are objects or pets on the best days. A narcissist's children are born to serve them and to be of use to them. Yeah, dude, this Quora, there is something about it that is so distinctly like 2011 in the way that it functions and the way people act on here. Like this is just a random post. Like I just refreshed my homepage and the first thing that came up is a picture of Keanu Reeves wearing like a rain jacket, sitting on like a stoop with like a Starbucks in his hand. And the caption is as follows. This is Matrix movie star Keanu Reeves. He was abandoned by his father at 3 years old and grew up with three different stepfathers. He is dyslexic. His dream of, I have a story about that actually, hold, put a pin in that for later. His dream of becoming a hockey player was shattered by a serious accident. His daughter died at birth. His wife died in a car accident. His best friend, River Phoenix, died of an overdose. His sister battled leukemia. No bodyguards, no luxury houses. Keanu lives in an ordinary apartment and likes wandering around town and often seen riding a subway in NYC. Blah blah blah. It goes over a bunch of other things that he did in life. Some of the ones most broken from the insides are the ones most willing to help others. This man could buy everything, and instead every day he gets up and chooses one thing that cannot be bought: to be a caring person. Heart eyes emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. Wow, inspiring, isn't it? It's so funny. It's so funny. Anyway, that reminded me that one time when I was doing social media for this tech company, this tech startup, the one that ghosted me. If you are curious, I talk about it in my very first episode where I rate all of the jobs I've ever had. But she was constantly, first of all, the product that it was just like wasn't very conducive to like creating content. Like it wasn't, it was like an education app. It was like, what is like, it's like, it was like Quizlet. It was kind of like a glorified Quizlet. And she like, I don't know why she was just like always expecting us to have like a viral video. And I'm like, I don't know, like the product like isn't that exciting. Like it's not going to just like have a, like it's just not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like that easily. But she catered the app towards people who had like learning disabilities. And because Keanu Reeves has dyslexia, I was like, oh, perfect. Like I'm going to make a video about how Keanu Reeves has dyslexia and like tie that into like our learning app. You know what I mean? Like, cause you need to have a hook. Like she didn't, the other thing was that whenever I tried to make a video that was like a little bit out of the box, she'd be like, I don't think that's going to work. And I'm like, okay, like you literally have to try, like what we've been doing isn't working. So we can't just keep doing that and hope it works because it's not going to. Like, we need to change courses here. But I just took the liberty one day to make this video, and we usually got like 100 views on our reels, right? Like literally, like we had such low viewers. And I made this video this one day talking about Keanu Reeves and his learning disability and like tying it into our app and whatever. I'm kind of divulging a lot of information here. I don't know why I get like so sweaty every time I talk about a job on here, even though like literally like less than 30 people are subscribed to this podcast. Like I doubt my old boss from that job who literally ghosted me is listening to my podcast, but I'm just like, so like, I'm kind of quaking in fear right now that she's gonna hear this. She's not, it's not even, I'm not even talking smack or anything. I just think it's funny. But so I made this video. I posted it. The next morning I woke up and it had like 33,000 views on Reels, which was like major. Like that was viral for us. Like we had usually been getting like literally 100 views per Reel. And we were like, we were getting comments, like the comments were popping off. And like, obviously, especially on Instagram Reels, like the comments are crazy. You know how it's like literally an insult on TikTok if someone comments, post this on IG Reels? Like that is like the most like scathing insult you could possibly get, because Reels is just known for being like such a brutal comment section. Everyone is so mean. So like the majority of the comments were fine, but like there were a couple that were like stupid, obviously, and like people arguing and like whatever. Like, and so obviously that comes, as I was talking about at the beginning of this video, when your video reaches a large enough audience, you start to get the riffraff. You know, you start to get the people who are there for bad faith arguments, who are there to deliberately misunderstand, who are there to troll. You know what I mean? And if you want views, which my boss wanted views, obviously she wanted views, she wanted people to use her app, then you're gonna, you have to. It's a thing you have. If you want views, you got to deal with a couple bad comments. You know what I mean? You just got, it's part of the game. You just got to do it. But she texted me that morning, or like WhatsApped me, because she was based in a different country. And she was like, you need to take this video down ASAP. Like the people in the comments are getting kind of crazy. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like people are having, like we want people to be having conversations and like starting conversations. And that's what, there was a couple people who had like comments threads going, you know, and they were like going back and forth. And it wasn't like hate speech. It wasn't swearing. It wasn't anything. It was just like a commenting conversation back and forth. And she's like, yeah, this is like way too, this is like way too scandalous. What is the word she used? Controversial. She was like, this is just way too controversial. We have to take this down. And I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work out. Like you actually, the name of the game on social media for views is to be controversial. You just have to do it. You just have to create some kind of like bait, like engagement bait. And she was like, no. And I'm like, okay, well then you're not going to get views on your Reels, I guess, if you want me to take down the one that got views. Anyway, I don't know why I just thought of that, but Keanu Reeves reminded me of that time that he got me my first like semi good reel on that account, and it had to get taken down because it was too controversial, I guess. Anyway, end of story. Here's a good one to end on. A question from Sadie Sue 21. Or actually, I don't know. No, the answer is from Sadie Sue 21. So the question is anonymous. It says, how long will people stay in heaven and how long will people stay in hell? Great question. I love that. Sadie Sue 21, whose credentials are that she is former retired from GM at General Motors Corporation. So gotta love that. Really, really applicable skill set there. She says, once you go to hell, there is one way in and no way out. You will come out after the millennium reign, which is 1,000 years, and stand before Christ for your sin. Because you had a chance to accept, holy shit, because you had a chance to accept Jesus while you was living, but you reject him. So you will have to pay your own sin debt. Sin debt? God, I'm in credit card debt and now I have to worry about sin debt too? Jesus. You will have to pay to your own sin debt, where you with be sentenced to the lake of fire for eternity. The believers who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be in heaven forever, living in bliss, no more dying, crying, and every day will be on sunshine. You will walk on golden streets and have a beautiful mansion and having a job that you will love. Are you kidding me? Even in heaven, you gotta have a job? There's no escape from capitalism, even in the pearly gates. Are you kidding me? Sadie Sue, get a grip. Come on, girl. You will have a job that you love. You will be with the rest of the believers having dinner with Jesus. We will have a glorified body like Jesus had when he was resurrection from the dead. So I really loved that beautiful, coherent response. I can't. I want one more. Sorry, we can't end with that one. I'm really craving another. Okay, I got recommended another one about heaven. This one asks, what will we see in heaven? And Renita responds, she has a BA in education from Gonzaga University, graduated 1992. She says, we will see our loved ones again who passed before us, family and friends too. I can't even begin to get into how awful the grammar and spelling is in these, okay? Which is why I believe they are like bots. Or I don't know. Like, I don't know. I would love to meet these people. I would love to get 100 Quora heads in a room and just kind of see the demographic that I'm working with. You know, I think that would be really interesting. Anyway, we will see our loved ones again who passed before us, family and friends too. God did not put us all here on earth to grow to love our parents, brothers, sister, aunts, and uncles, just to have us love them so much, then take them away in death to never see again. No, God is a loving God, and we will definitely see them all again. It will be beautiful, and there will be no pain, and everyone will feel great joy. I believe this with all my heart. You know when someone is dying and they cry out the name of someone they love on the other side? That is because they are beginning to see them and know they will be there. Do not be scared. Just know our loved ones will be there. What is heaven like? God, I'm on a real heaven kick. I have been told that there is no suffering. My daughter passed unexpectedly at 26 in 2018. Rest in peace. That didn't say that. I'm saying that. I asked her what it was like, but in my mind, not out loud. A few days later, I heard her voice in my mind saying there's no suffering, That's all I know about it, but I have no doubt that at least that part is true. As simple as it is, it's a lot. What do the comments say? Heaven is probably perfect. Pain and suffering in the sense... Oh, that's too long. I'm not reading all that. This one has to be fake. My 18-year-old daughter is pregnant and my 20-year-old son is the father. What gift should I buy them after hearing about this blessing? This is some 12-year-old boy who made an account and is just coming up with the most ridiculous things he can think of. But I love the answer that someone gave. A former business owner with the username Parrot Lover. Let me understand. Your two children had incestuous relations. Rather than having a stroke over this horrible situation, you'd rather believe this is a blessing? I'm obsessed. I love when people love that this person assumed that this was true and didn't assume it was a lie, you know? What sort of morals did you pass on to these young adults? Further, a blessing, as I understand, a blessing comes from God. My God would never bless an incestuous relationship. So perhaps if you truly believe this, you desperately need assistance from a pastor or priest to attempt to straighten out your moral core. As far as I'm concerned, you better pray to God that this child is not born with birth defects due to their stupidity. Secondly, I wish there would be a law requiring the child to be put up for a closed adoption. I can't imagine this poor child's prospective psychological damage, especially when she discovers who her parents are. That's why they have no business raising any child, period. Thirdly, all of you should have mandatory therapy. Stay in it until you're done. If it takes years, so be it. Until you're done. I don't think you're ever done with therapy. For the gifts, forget it. All of you have problems beyond belief. I hope the comments. Please do not feed the trolls. Yeah. Okay. Why are these troll questions allowed? Fake. How do these questions come into their mind? What society are they living in? What learned from education? Where is the discipline very bad? Oh, God. I love Quora. It's so fun. Okay, I am going to be honest with you. I am pausing every minute to hack up a lung and cough so loud and annoying. And so I think I'm going to land this plane. You know, I think we're going to taxi a little bit and then everyone's going to get off the plane and walk up the jetway and get into the airport and go along their day. Right? Do we follow? Are we following? Oh my God, I can't tell if it's raining or if it's really windy outside, but I'm hearing a really loud noise out the window. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's wind and rain. Riveting. Okay. Thanks for listening. I love you. I hope next week I actually have something coherent to say. I hope I have some. I really just got on here and flapped my gums for almost an hour, you know? Maybe next week I will actually have a real agenda or a real topic to cover, okay? I've just been busy, okay? Don't blame me. I've been busy. But thanks for stopping by. I love you. If you want to follow me on TikTok, that's Olivia Stober Studios. That's my personal account. That's the one that I posted the video on at the beginning of the podcast that I talked about. The podcast has a TikTok, but I don't really post on there. The podcast does have an Instagram that I post on the stories mostly. It's ObscuraPod. My personal Instagram is Olivia Stubber Studios. So catch me over there. You know what I mean? We're going to have fun. And if you did enjoy the episode today, maybe leave a rating or a review. I'd really appreciate it. And maybe go check out some of the episodes that I've released previously. I have some pretty good ones in there. I think this is episode 21. So podcast is of legal drinking age now, okay? Pour one out for ObscuraPod. But yeah, I'll catch you guys next week. And love you. Love you literally so much, okay?